where's the PMT of Madibeng? Where's the PMT of Madibeng?
I see online, Madibeng, we have an administrator, and I saw online that the administrator has joined the meeting. I called earlier on when you asked about the mayor. I called the mayor. She was telling me that they are joining the meeting. They should have joined by now because of the time that I called. But they were indicating that they are joining the meeting as well.
So why can't she answer for herself?
So no,
I am here, Chairperson.
Yes, I called you. You didn't respond. Is the speaker here?
Yes, the speaker is in, Chairperson.
Yes, Chair. I'm in, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair.
Next time I join the meetings on time. The meeting starts at 9. Eh? You don't start joining meetings at 9. You must join meetings earlier. Just to give the committees the quorum. Okay. Then we are fine. Under the circumstances, we should be fine. Let me confirm the members. Who are you? Honorable Brink, yes, I already welcome you. Honorable Cesar, we knocked off in the morning. There's no need to greet you. You are here. Thanks for coming back. Honorable Konevalt. Honorable Oberman, welcome back. We greeted each other this morning. Honorable Direko, welcome back. We greeted each other this morning. Did I omit somebody? I think I've seen the name, the list, so you'll forgive me. The attendees are so many. The Honorable Hossein, you are here. Did I miss someone? There is. Committee Secretary?
No, Chairperson, that is all the members that's in the meeting at the moment.
We are fine to proceed.
Yes, we are.
Okay. For those that have joined us late, it's my humble plea again. Put your microphone on mute. Make sure that there are no people who are making noise behind you or moving around. If your video is on, phones must be put on silence. They mustn't disrupt this meeting. With this few words, let me welcome you, the Northwest team, led by the MEC for Finance and the MEC for COPTA. Also to welcome the delegation from SAGA, led by Councillor Stofile. Welcome the DCOG team. I wonder if the Deputy Minister has already joined. As we've said, we've got the apology of the Minister and DM Babel. Oh, welcome. And also welcome. I can't say good morning to you because you were with us as well. DM Down. You are here, okay? Then we have MP Basson, also part of us. I see also the chairperson of the COPTA in the province portfolio committee, the Honorable Musana, is also here. So I want to welcome all of you colleagues. Welcome you, colleagues, the MEC for Finance and the MEC for COPTA. We appreciate you, MEC for Finance, for coming here. Because since we started with this engagement, we didn't have the side of the finance part. So we want to appreciate your commitment to come and assist us in dealing with this matter that affects municipalities. The issue of Madibeng, colleagues, you will all recall that is nothing new to us. Since we were the AG people, can you mute your videos I can see you're very busy. When you are ready to focus, then you can then focus on the meeting. If you know you are busy, please click that the mute your video and to cause disruptions in the meeting. Then you will then put your video on as and when you are requested to speak. It makes matters easier. It doesn't cause disruptions. I was still saying, in Madiveng, we are not interacting with Madiveng for the first time. We had a joint meeting with COPPA earlier in 2009. But then what we have observed, as we've read, and those some of the reports were brought to us late, because I must say upfront, I got a very disturbing letter that I shared with the colleagues when we asked Madiveng to make a presentation. And we were told that there is transition from new old administration to new administration. But we know that the administration that was in Madiveng was not 1390. It means the council continued to exist. It means the PMP and everybody continued to execute their mandate. And that's the reason why maybe we got your presentation late, because seemingly there was no willpower to give us that presentation as we requested. So that's the matter that we, and then we were trying to get annoyed, but the beauty about it, though members were busy the whole of yesterday, the report was finally submitted late against the 24-hour rule requirements of Parliament. There's a rule in Parliament that documents must be submitted to the committee 24 hours before the meeting. And it's one thing that MEC, COPTA, you need to talk to us why documents from your province were submitted late. The point that I was raising here with regard to Madiveng, we are again encountering an entrenched pattern of dismal year-on-year audit outcomes. They are dating back from 2015-16 up to present. We also see the by now familiar pattern where payment to consultants exceeds the salary bill MEC of the finance, of the entire finance section. And yet, there are no improvements on the audit outcomes. The administrator's report to the committee indicates that this trend continues through to the current year under review 2018-19 financial year, where the municipalities is listing the assistance of four different consulting firms to prepare one set of financial statements. Turning to the next page of the report, we learned that the municipality has a financial reporting accountant responsible for bank reconciliation, a CFO responsible for monitoring and supervising the finance department. On top of that, a deputy CFO responsible for financial statements. However, as one browses and turns over the more pages, the more we read your presentations, there are other slides indicating that the CFO position has been vacant since December 2018. I should think the administrator must assist our understanding here. We are also increasingly touching on the question of the effectiveness of the Section 139 intervention. And the case of Madiveng amplifies this question. The administrator's report again indicates that the municipality has been subject to four interventions in terms of Section 131B of the Constitution. MEC COPTA, none of these interventions have yielded better audit outcomes. And this is an area of concern. for us. I cannot see any good cause as to why the provincial executive is avoiding the institution of Section 139(1)(c) of the constitution in this municipality. The other issue that one has picked up, which is concerning, is the lack of consequence management for wrongdoing, which is another common thing in Madiveni. In Madiveni, you do whatever, promote the maleficence, it's business as usual. You can get away with it because there's no willpower to effect consequence management. We are aware that a forensic report is presently sitting with the municipality. There's no action on its findings and recommendations. Some officials initially suspended in the connection with the illegal investment of the VPF Mutual Bank are back in the employ of the municipality. The municipality appears to have lost 31.5 million invested in the bank, but there are no efforts also to recover that money. And then those that have done that have easily got away with the matter. At the end of the day, we see communities dumping refuse at the doorsteps of the municipality. Money is gone down the drain. We have also observed one trend that is a worrying factor to us. Councillors in the service of this municipality owe rates and taxes with impunity. Illegal debit orders in the municipality's bank account have not received attention for more than 2 years. The list of issues around poor consequence management seems to be endless. The reported suspension of 4 senior managers on 30 June 2020 on allegation of misconduct come as an exception rather than the rule. It also provides to us as a committee legal comfort to hear that the municipality's financial governance structures are functional when there is legal evidence of their effectiveness. The AG's presentation still refers to a systematic breakdown in the discipline of financial controls in the municipality, despite the existence of an external internal audit, an audit committee, an impact in the municipal disciplinary board. And that has been the trend throughout. For our efforts to gain traction with the municipality, we need to intensify our oversight on the matters. I have just highlighted all these issues that we need to intensify our oversight on. Close collaboration with the SIU and the HOPS on some of this issue for us as a committee will be vital. With these few words, I want to hand over to you, MEC Proctor. Then you will hand over to whoever is going to do the presentation to us. That should be done in 20 minutes. After that, AG will do their presentation, followed by Salga. Then it will be yourself, Copta, and then the MEC for Finance, and then National Copta, in that order. So I hand over to you, MEC Copta.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members, my colleagues that are there, MEC Finance, administrators who are there. Honorable member, honorable chair, I must firstly apologize for logging in late. I was a bit struggling with the network, but at least I managed. What you have raised, honorable chair, we are taking note of that. You are right to say that there are many things that have to be attended by this municipality. And something we have included in the terms of reference, because we were engaging and saying that it can be correct that there are no consequence management and we have the administrator. So the administrator has investigated previously. The only thing is that when his term ended, he at that time, he did not implement because of the time lapse, but it's part of the things that he has to continue to pursue as the administrator there. So everything that you have said, Honorable Chair, something that we have taken note of, they are actually in the terms of reference. So, Chair, can I hand over to the Mashego or the HOD, who said this, Ntate Mashego there, who will be doing the presentation. Thanks a lot, Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Okay. Over to you, HOD.
Chairperson, good morning to you, and good morning to the MECs and the members, and my colleagues from national and from the province. Chair, I'm a little bit confused. We submitted about three presentations. We, however, do not have a presentation that is specific to my debate, and I would need a guidance because our presentations are about all the municipalities in the province.
The presentation on the municipalities was...
Oh, okay.
No. We asked three things for yourselves.
Yes.
The presentation on Madiving, in response to the AG findings and all the stuff, that is the presentation that the municipality does. And then in the absence of the administrator does that. That's one thing. Then we'll deal with that on the state of governance in the municipality. That's done. After that, then the AG will talk to the issues. Salga, yourself, Escopta, then also the national court and treasury. I think treasury will talk to that. And then there's another item that we're going to deal with it later, as I said, section 139 in the province. So did you do one presentation then in Kishirin? Can I be corrected? Did you get a presentation as the mayor was saying that it can be done? Shirin?
Where I'm sitting, I don't have any presentation on Madibeng or either from the department or from the municipality itself. So I only have the presentation that we talked about, which is the state of the municipality in the province, which covers all the municipalities in the province. I have presentation on section 139, and also I have the presentation on progress in terms of municipal recovery plan is concerned. So those are the three presentations that we are bringing to the portfolio committee from the province. But I don't have a specific one. Yes, Madibeng is covered in the state of the municipalities in the province, but it is not... It is all the municipalities that we have included in the presentation. Present the present, take you through the presentation of the state of the municipalities in the province.
Shirin?
Sorry, Chairperson, we do have a presentation from the municipality.
Let's get that one.
Thank you, Chair.
The municipality must give us the presentation in response to the audit outcomes and the state of the municipality. Can it be flighted? Who's presenting from the municipality side?
Thank you, Chair.
Who's presenting from the municipality side?
Is the administrator, Chair?
I can't hear.
the administration.
Your network is terrible.
Frank,
There's somebody speaking. There is a man who's talking at the same time.
I was saying is the administrator who's going to do the presentation. Thank you, sir.
What's your name?
Good morning, Chair. My name is Monna Pula Motlogelo. I'm the administrator here in Madibeng. I'm going to switch off the video and continue with the presentation. Chair,
You must slide the presentation here on the screen. I think that's the reason of you switching off the video.
There's the presentation, Chair. Chair, you have in your opening address indicated the challenge that Madibeng has been subjected to over the years. I'm just going to follow through from that, and I am with the CFO for the purpose of this meeting, Mr. Motaung, who will deal with the financial details. Then we'll do other comments on governance issues. Firstly, Chair, as you indicate, Madibeng was subjected to Section 1391B in 2011. Subsequent to that, it was also subjected in 2015 to Section 154 support intervention by Water Services. Subsequent to that, in 2016, it was subjected to another 1391B, and 1st July 2019, another Section 1391B. On the 3rd of August, EXCO once again invoked Section 1391B in Madibeng. Chair, there are indeed systematic problems and issues that need to be attended to in the municipality, and I just want to flag on some of the issues that we have raised and allow the acting CFO to deal with the audit outcomes as they are, and our post-audit action plan and audit-related issues for the financial year 2018-2019. Chair, the issues that I will deal with are in the presentations, and when we get to that slide, we would have addressed them adequately. The first key issue that you raised, Chair, about vacancies on senior management. In 2018, in December, the municipal manager, the CFO, and the technical services director in Madibeng all resigned, and there had been acting arrangements until July last year, 2019. When the intervention team resumed its work in the municipality, there were adverts for the filling of these three senior vacancies. We subsequently attended to the adverts and the applicants, and we realized that some of the adverts were quite juniorizing the positions that have been adverted on. For instance, for the position of the municipal manager, a requirement was that a candidate must have at least 2 years experience in senior management. We consulted with the MEC for COXTA then, the late Mutiberi Kihakile, and subsequently we had to restart that process and ensure that proper and competent candidates are invited and that the adverts are strengthened to ensure that we really invite candidates who will be assisting Madibeng. That process unfolded until end of February this year, and when the closing date in March came, unfortunately the COVID-19 pandemic brought its disturbances, and the lockdown regulations affected all the time frames that we had planned, and we extended the applicants' times until end of April, beginning of May. At the time the intervention ended in June, all the work was done. All that is outstanding is shortlisting and appointment of candidates. The terms of reference for this intervention now compels us to complete this process by end of September, so that there is a substantive senior management, CFO, municipal manager, technical services, human settlement and planning. The lack of consequence management, you are quite correct, Chair, for over the years, these four disclaimers have not seen any officials in the municipality at any level facing any consequences. We have, as at the end of June 2020, Chair, placed four senior managers involved in fruitless expenditure and others in irregular expenditure and procurement of services on notice of suspension. Council resolved on the 3rd of June that they be suspended so that consequence management can be realized in relation to. There are many other officials who must face consequence management. At the moment, it's about five of them who are under the disciplinary process. The forensic reports, Chair, there were three forensic reports and other reports. We have been able to table all these forensic reports and other investigation reports before Council. We have started the processes of disciplining implicated officials. The matters have also been reported to both the SIU and the other matter to the Hawks. The investigation are taking very long, and we have cooperated with them and gave them all the necessary documents that they required. This includes the VBS matter, Chair. One former acting municipal manager who's a substantive director here, the charges she faces is about transfer of or investment of the VBS money and of the municipal fund into the VBS unlawful investment. That process is now ongoing. The criminal process, once again, is not within our hands to expedite it, and we appeal that in whatever form that the committee is able to assist, we'll really appreciate. The issues relating to councillors owing rates and taxes, we have tabled a list of councillors and municipal officials owing rates and taxes. We have persuaded them over time and time. We came to a conclusion that those who are owing as a municipality, we must then, because they also appear in the in our financials, we must obtain an order of us being authorized to debit their accounts without them arranging, those that have not arranged. But it's quite disappointing when your own councillors and officials are themselves owing the municipality and they expect the community to pay. We have raised this matter to full council on frequent occasions, even when we developed and presented the revenue enhancement plan. The financial governance structures, Chair, these structures do exist, but they also need further capacity. They need further strengthening so that its work, as you indicate, could show through the results. We are still heavily faced with a financial distress position as a municipality. At some stage, our monthly income was about 61 million, while the expenditure required about 120, 21 million. If this trend recurs, Chair, we are technically becoming in an insolvent position. Chair, these are just a brief overview of governance-related issues as we have raised them. We have covered them in the report, but we also have detailed reports of each. I'm now going to hand over to Mr. Motaung to deal with the feedback on the post-audit action plan and other issues out, emanating from the 2018-19 audit outcomes.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is James Motaung, all protocol observed. When it comes to the audit outcomes, it has been said we've had disclaimers for the past 4 years. And then in terms of addressing those post-audit action plan, we had about 195 findings. And then also we have attended to 74. We still are working in progress on about 121 findings of AG. The next table you will see is the long table. It's where we describe all the major findings of AG. And then also we are tabling percentages that we have on what we have achieved so far. The major part of the audit was cash. We had a cash and cash equivalent matter. And then that matter is also part of the bank reconciliation issue, which also resulted in the debit orders that administrator has highlighted. Therefore, we had to, for us to prove to AG that our bank reconciliation is correct, we had to go 3 years backwards to populate the proper bank reconciliation. For the past years, it was not populated correctly, so we had to do a proper bank reconciliation for the past 3 years. Therefore, it was a major challenge for the institution to do that. And then with the fact that we did not have a personnel who was doing bank reconciliation on a monthly basis. Therefore, that was a challenge for the municipality. But as we speak now, we have appointed an accountant who is doing the bank reconciliation on a monthly basis. As far as we are concerned, the current financial year, everything was done properly in terms of bank reconciliation on a monthly basis. The only challenge that we are still dealing with, we are addressing 3 years prior so that the opening balance for the current financial year can be correct, and then therefore the bank reconciliation can be cleared from the audit findings. This is the major finding that if we can get this right, we believe that the opinion might have a different outcome if we can manage to deal with cash and cash equivalent. The other item was the receivable and trade revenue receivables. This matter, the matter here with us, there are two issues. It was completeness of debtors, and also issue of completeness was an issue that we had been estimating our reading. Our meter readers out of the place, so they could not read. We could not read the meters for some time, so we had to estimate. Therefore, AG has an issue with that estimation, because in terms of law, you can only estimate for 3 months. Therefore, after that, you must be able to you are supposed to be able to be giving real meter readings. Therefore, that is a challenge, and that challenge, even in the current financial year, is one matter that we are still unable to resolve, because it's a challenge for us. We also need assistance from the administration. We also need assistance from the political league to be able to conscientize the community that to allow our people to go and read meters there, so that this matter can be cleared. The other item was expenditure and trade payables. There, the challenge was lack of monthly reconciliation as well. But we are now have prepared reconciliations for bulk purchases, for bulk suppliers and MIG and all sundry payments. After we've done this reconciliation, currently we are waiting for statements from the suppliers that they can give us the statement, so that the reconciliation can match the balance on the reconciliation can match the statement. What we were supposed to have done was that every payment before it's done, a person was supposed to supply a statement before we can pay them. So we have not been doing that. So that is why now we are requesting every supplier to provide us with a statement at the end of June, so that we are able to balance our reconciliation. Irregular expenditure as well, and unauthorized. I think these ones, there's a detailed explanation. But the totals in the next slide, in the next page, you will see the totals of UIF and W. The balance so far for unauthorized is 1.8. It has reduced by 38%. Irregular is standing at 2 billion. And then fruitless and wasteful is standing at 57 million, 83% and 34%. It has increased by 83%. The other one increased by 34%. During the month of November 2017, MPEC recommended to council to write off an amount of 1.5 billion for non-cash items for the 2013-14 and 14-15 and 15-16 respectively. The remaining balance of 424 was referred back to Office of the Store Manager for investigation due to incomplete report. And also in the 16-17 UIF were also referred back as well to the municipal manager for the completeness of the report. What the MPEC had a challenge with is that when they requested documents, the documents were not found, they could not get the documents, so they requested that the municipal manager as administration to be able to do the investigations and ensure that documents are available as they, when they request them. The challenge, what causes unauthorized expenditure? For now, we believe that the inability to raise enough revenue to be able to fully budget for non-cash items like depreciation and professional bad debts is the one that is the major one, because those two items are the major expenditures, non-cash expenditures, which every year makes our unauthorized expenditure to be huge. And also that we are not using the creditors module, that also has a contribution to unauthorized, because now we are not being able to record bulk purchases properly, and then that hinders the budget unit to be able to budget properly for those bulk purchases. The irregular expenditure, the root cause is missing documents and proper filing. Also, we need to train our personnel for bid committees. Also, try to make sure that our system is interlinked with CSD, because it's a challenge for us currently. We are busy with our IT to try and connect our financial system to the CSD so that everything can be automated. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, root cause there is late payment of bulk suppliers like SARS and ESCOM, your water boards. Those late payments result in interest being charged to us, and then those becomes wasteful and fruitless and wasteful. Therefore, the municipality has to ensure, I think administrator has already highlighted on terms of revenue collection, the municipality has to ensure that we implement credit control, and also, which is also a challenge, because we are unable to implement credit control in some other of our locations, because some of them, they don't allow our people to go inside to implement credit control challenge. Currently, in terms of use of consultants, what has happened in 18-19 is that our audit for 17-18 ended in January. And then from February, we had to start preparing financial statements until June. Therefore, and at that time, as administrator has explained, that a huge resource, major resources, MM and CFO resigned. So we had a gap. We had to now get service provider to assist us in trying to, in that short space from February until June, that we prepare our financial statements correctly. Then we had to, because we had a panel of service providers, then we had to ask different service providers to do different components for us so that we are able to quickly address the matter in that short space of time. That is why you have us having different consultants doing different things, assisting the municipality at that time. So you would have people who are, currently we have people who are preparing financial statements. It's Minato, contract period now 8 months. And then we have also people who are doing assets for us, which is a specialized, therefore we asked Echnet Sol to assist us in that. And then also provision of landfill is a specialized skill. We don't have that in the municipality. Then we outsourced CHAPU and other environmental and sustainable solutions, CC, to assist us on that. And then irregular expenditure, which was a challenge because it's a huge amount. We have requested another company to assist us to compile a proper register for irregular expenditure. And then in terms of review, we had not appointed anyone, but we know that National Treasury has provided the resource for us to assist in terms of review. We are also going to request Provincial Treasury also to assist in terms of the review. And then we have another service provider, which is a software that helps us to compile the financial AFS. In terms of us being able to do the financials in-house, in 17-18, we tried. We went out, we did internally with major components were done internally in 17-18. We did ask service provider to assist, but they were at the minimum level. The major part that the service providers were doing is cash and cash equivalent. Now, we were doing things internally. Hence, when the major resources left the institution, that unit became paralyzed. We needed to get people to assist us. So we are saying, currently, for us to be able to do this, we still need an accountant who will deal with bank reconciliation. This resource, I think we've got this one, which is doing the bank reconciliation on a monthly basis. Now we need also to have a chief financial officer, and also we need to have a deputy CFO to coordinate the entire process of AFS. And then other matters would be your record keeping, which is something that we are working on. In terms of contracts, make sure that contracts are filed properly, all they are saved, they are there. SCM, we have a storeroom there. Vouchers are verified to ensure that all compliance matters are there. Journals are saved, are kept safe in a file so that when AG comes, they get all the journals. Current status of 1920 AFS preparation. We are partially done with bank reconciliation. Eventually, we are doing it. The only challenge is water inventory. And then also assets is in progress. It's something that comes a bit later.
The chair is calling him.
Why is the CFO not listening to me? I've been calling him for the last 5 minutes. What's wrong, CFO?
Can you open the volume?
CFO?
I see she's speaking.
CFO, are you in the meeting with us or in another meeting? Administrator?
No, Chair.
Administrator?
Hello, Chair.
Yeah, let him, make him to stop now. Yes, it is dead this time, and he seems not to be in this meeting because it seems as if he's the only person who can hear us. Yes, he has to stop.
Yes, we stop.
Yes, Chair.
It's done. AG, can I hand over to you? AG, whose videos are on. It was not yourself, it's the colleague from the province. I just mistaken one of the face to some of your colleagues. I want to apologize for that.
Thank you.
You can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the Honorable Members, the MEC of Finance and COFTA.
the speaker and the mayor of Madibeng that are present in the meeting, the administrator, and the rest of the other colleagues that are part of the meeting. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm not going to take a lot of time. I've noted that some of the things that we have reported on, you have covered in your opening remarks, as well as the presentation that was just flighted now by the municipality. And you will see that the audit outcomes that we are talking to for the province as well as Madibeng talks about the systemic breakdown in the discipline of financial controls. And this is something that was prevalent within the Madibeng local municipality as well. So I'm going to move to this particular slide, Chair. It's also been covered. This is just a contrasting view between the audit outcomes of the province as a whole vis-a-vis that of Madibeng. So from a province perspective, Chair, you can see that there isn't any unqualified audit outcomes in the province. Predominantly, we are sitting with disclaimers and qualified audit opinions. But specifically, when you look at Madibeng, you can see that for the last 4 years, they have remained with a disclaimer of opinion. The last audit outcome that was better than the one that they have currently was a qualification that was in the 2014-15 financial year. The availability of documents or evidence to support the financial activities of the municipality remains one of the major challenges that they have. And this is evident in terms of the repeat disclaimers that they've been having over the years, Chair. So that is what this particular slide is covering. If you look at the financial analysis, which partly the CFO has just covered now, from a revenue base, they had about 1 billion rands worth of revenue that is being generated from their billing of services. And then in addition to that, there is equitable share allocation as well as conditional grants. So this then will be their revenue base. However, when you then look at the expenditure line items, you will see that on average, it took them 322 days to pay their suppliers in general. And this is also a regression from last year. So last year it was 279, 322. If you quantify this, it's roughly, just under 2 years, Chair, to pay certain service providers, which then indirectly means that the municipality would have received the service, but then it takes them longer to pay, which then would hamstring a service provider, especially those that could be, your small, medium enterprises. If you look at the salaries and wages of the municipality, 531 million in 18-19, predominantly a large chunk of that comes from, you can look at the equitable share as well as conditional grants. So that 1 billion revenue base, as the CFO has just indicated, most of it is not being realized in terms of cash. And hence, then you find that there are situations where the municipality would use the cash that they have at their disposal, which is mainly equitable share and conditional grants, to fund some of their normal activities, which is then including salaries and wages. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure in this particular year, it was a little bit improved from 21.5 in the previous year. But as you have just indicated, because the cash is hamstrung, then the municipality then, is not able to pay certain service providers, and then they then get to charge them interest. You look at the net result of the income base as well as the expenditure, you'll see that the municipality closed that particular financial year in a deficit of 1.1 billion rands. And the CFO has just covered some of the items that contribute to this, mainly with the provision for debt impairment being the one that is the biggest contributor here, because the billing is not being able to be realized in terms of cash. If you look at the financial position on the bottom of that slide, Chair talks to the municipality's inability to collect the cash that is being, built for services, 1.7 billion rands that is unlikely to be recovered from consumer debtors from their total debtors balance of 2 billion rands. So it's very unlikely. The CFO has touched on this as well in the presentation. If you look at the amount of cash that the municipality had at the end of the financial year, the financially distressed position is also being confirmed by this fact. Yeah, the municipality had 89 million rands as a bank balance at the end of June last year, and they had payables of 1.1 billion rands, which means that if this, all of them were to be payable immediately, the municipality will definitely be very much insolvent in terms of being able to meet that. This is exacerbated by the fact that the municipality is in a net current liability situation to the tune of about 700 million. And this is the notwithstanding the fact that there was a PIC loan of 1.1 billion rand that had not been recognized in the municipality's financial statements, despite the court confirming that the municipality owed this amount of money to the PIC. So this is the financial analysis, Chair, from our perspective in terms of the financial position of the municipality. In addition, you look at the aging infrastructure. There's also then water and electricity distribution losses. For both water and electricity distribution losses, the municipality's losses in terms of volumes were in excess of those that have been prescribed. Water distribution losses, the municipality's losses were at 65%, and that was way in excess of the 15 to 30% that is the considered norm. Similar for electricity, the volumes were at a loss of 30%, and this is way in excess of the 7 to 30% norm that is being indicated there. Moreover, you can then see the losses from a value perspective in terms of water being 151 million rands, as well as electricity being at 176. And this further exacerbates the financial distress position that the municipality finds itself in. You look at then the provision that is required for maintenance of the infrastructure. Treasury prescribes 8% of the carrying value of their assets. In the last year, the last 2 years, you see that the municipality was only to provide for about 1.9% and 1.5% respectively. And that's way over below what is required in terms of the norm, and which will then further indicate that there is a maintenance backlog and further contributing to the water or and electricity distribution losses. Look at the amounts of money that is being owed to ESCOM as well as to the water boards. You'll see that this has increased from the previous year, almost 100 million rands for electricity and 72 million rands for water. And you can see that there is a vast increase from what the balance was in the previous financial year, Chair. So this then talks to the fact that the financial distress of the position, the financially distressed position of the municipality remains, and both the CFO and the administrator have touched on that. If you look at the usage of consultants that the CFO covered, the municipality continued to use consultants, but sustained the disclaimer opinion for the fourth consecutive year. The finance salary cost, as you see on the presentation there, was 33.6 million rands for about 105 positions of staff members, whilst a further 35.4 million was spent on consultants. This is the highest cost on consultants in the province, and yet there was no value that is being realized due to the lack of proper record keeping, which at times, Chair, appeared to be deliberate in order to hide the extent of irregularities in the municipalities. There were also instabilities at both the MM and the CFO level, as you've just heard that they both left at the end of December 2018. And Provincial Treasury seconded staff to come and assist the municipality in this particular role after the 2019 financial year. However, even with this seconded staff, Chair, they could not assist the municipality due to an inability to maintain proper records to support the information that is being represented in their financial statements. This made it difficult for the consultants to rectify or prepare a credible set of financial statements, as they were provided with incomplete ledgers and trial balances. Of course, Chair, public funds are a scarce resource and should be used only to create value for the community, and therefore the leadership of the municipality should ensure that funds are not misused in the municipality. So these are the most common non-compliance areas that we have identified in the municipality: prevention of irregular, fruitless and wasteful, quality of financial statements, lack of consequence management, management of procurement and contracts, as well as expenditure management. So these are the top five areas that we have identified in the municipality. Irregular expenditure continued to surge. You'll see that it has increased to 443 million rands in 18-19. Predominantly, all this irregular expenditure, Chair, was as a result of, you know, ongoing multi-year contracts that comes from previous years. So I guess we can note the fact that there was no new non-compliance that led to irregular expenditure during the 2018-19 financial year. However, we need to also note that the extent of this figure that we're indicating here is not a true reflection. It can be worse, because the municipality has been qualified on this area of irregular expenditure due to incomplete records or incomplete disclosure thereof. Lastly, Chair, there are other instances of accountability failures that we have also noted. They've been covered largely in the presentations that have been done so far. The amount of money that was lost in VPS, that's 31.1 million rands. There's also the unauthorized debit orders, Chair, that we spoke about, which are indicative of fraud that could be happening in the municipality. The issue of consequence management, to say that there has not been any decisive reports or in terms of the finalization of the investigation on the VBS. I think the administrator spoke to the progress thereof. This was what we had at the time when we finalized the audit. And then also the fact that, Chair, this issue of unauthorized debit orders, we actually identified it in the 2017-18 financial year. And of course, the leadership of the municipality was made aware of those. But we have not yet seen action that had taken place. I think the CFO spoke to processes that are unfolding in terms of what is currently the status. Of course, then the impact from a service delivery perspective in terms of the loss of these funds will ultimately be felt in the community, because again, these are again limited resources considering the financially distressed position of the municipality. There should not be any further wastage of funds. If you look at the assurance providers, Chair, considering the systemic nature of these outcomes with the disclaimers for the last 4 years, we have assessed that the assurance levels are not at the required level in terms of the three levels of assurance. From a senior management perspective, the issue of non-responsiveness to recommendations, to the audit messages, the instabilities at MM and CFO levels, of course, further hinders the municipality's ability to change the culture, implement practices that would improve their internal control environment. From internal audit and audit committee perspective, there's also a limitation, Chair, generally in terms of the availability of skills, specifically for internal audit. And then also that the non-responsiveness in terms of some of the recommendations that have been implemented. From a council perspective, which is the third level of assurance, the issue around research staff to support the committee MPAC in terms of fulfilling its responsibility is also one of the areas that needs to be looked into. And then, of course, the issues of the general investigations that needs to be done in terms of irregular expenditure, which would then lead to the consequences that we talk about. And partly that has to do also with the lack of the political will to ensure that there's consequence management in the municipality. So we also analyzed the municipalities in the province in general that were had been put under administration, and this included Madibeng. These additional 8 municipalities that were put under administration in 2018-19, this came in effect in May of 2019, which means that these interventions would only have had about 2 months in this current financial year. So from an impact perspective, you'll not necessarily see that. And in mostly of these interventions, specifically in 18-19, the operational processes only took effect in July of 2019, which was then after the financial year. But however, we noted, Chair, that there was an issue that could have contributed to the root cause around these interventions not necessarily receiving the support of councils in general. And this was an issue around the inconsistency in terms of what the appointment letters and the terms of references of the administrator indicated as compared to what then the requirements of Section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution require. And this is naturally what we found that it's also one of the issues that contributed to councils not being receptive to some of these interventions. Yes, this ends our presentation. Thank you very much. I hope I've been audible.
Yes, Mr. Yes. Chair.
Councillor Stufile, are we ready?
Chairperson, good morning. It is Lance here.
Yes. Introduce the team. That's going to do the presentation.
Good morning, Chair, and also morning to the members and deputy ministers, colleagues from the province, MEC's present. Our sincere apologies, Councillor Stofile seems to have difficulties hearing, Chair. We are joined as SALGA, as you earlier introduced, by a team from the province, and I will hand over to William Morocco will walk us through the presentation, but we also have in attendance the Deputy Chairperson of SALGA in the province, Councillor Khumalo, who may also want to make some additions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lance. Welcome, Deputy Chairperson of SALGA in the province. Then let me hand over to the PDO, something like that. PDO, ne?
Yeah. Good morning, Chair, and the honourable members. All protocol observed. I hope you can see the presentation.
Yes.
So essentially, we wish to share with the committee these 6 issues. And firstly, Chair, we wish to start with this particular slide just to make 2 points on it. The first point being that we have noted that the municipality has received disclaimers in the last 3 years, starting from 16-17. But importantly, that we are observing that despite the municipality having the necessary capacity and the utilization of consultants, we are seeing the same result. Thirdly, that even during these periods, Honorable Chair, of 16, 17, 18, 19, the municipality has made, in our own opinion, substantial losses. For example, in 16, 17, there's a loss of 224 million. 17, 18, 19 claimers, but there's an element about losses. Importantly, that we have identified, and the AG has spoken to some of these issues, which I would not necessarily repeat in detail. But the overarching message for us, there, Chair, is that these issues, in our own opinion, that are self-inflicted weaknesses, and they're not necessarily applicable to Madibeng. They would be applicable in other municipalities. And in that regard, if municipalities had to arrest these six issues, which essentially are in their control, we should be able to emerge with better audit outcomes going forward. But importantly, that the AG, in his report, he's highlighted some of the issues that we are surfacing here. But the most important thing for us, Chair, is that we needed to make sure that the usage of consultants becomes of value add, because currently as SALGA, we are not able to indicate to your good selves what the terms of reference of those consultants are, and what are they contracted to do. And it's something that we needed to ensure that we have a deeper understanding of it. I'm sure, Chair, for the better last week and this week, you must have heard about our mass problem program. I won't go into the details, but suffice to highlight the support that we've provided to this municipality on those four pillars. If you look at leadership as an example, we've done a lot of training, I must indicate, Chair, either at MMC level, at MPEG, and really from where we're sitting at SALGA, we've done all our level best to ensure that we support the municipality in relation to training of MMCs, MPEGs, including issues of consequence management and accountability. Secondly, that of importance for us is also to strengthen council oversight, because we are of the opinion that these are structures created by council and are within the control of council for them to make certain key decisions in relation to audit outcomes. We are beginning to even question as SALGA whether these oversight structures are actually integrated in terms of a common goal. And you'll see in the subsequent slide, we are making suggestions that perhaps maybe we should introduce KPIs for the four oversight structures: internal audit, disciplinary boards, audit committees, and the like, so that we begin to measure them if they are actually doing what they are supposed to do. And importantly, that we are in partnership with the EU, and Madibeng is one of the beneficiaries of that program, and we have been training them again on issues of governance in relation to budget and public participation, including consequence management and accountability. So you will see, Chair, under the leadership, we've really been hard at work with my team, trying to really ensure that we give the necessary support in relation to the municipality giving leadership on issues of financial management. On governance, I have touched in some of these. Currently, our observation, as I've indicated, Chairperson, that we are not too sure yet whether the oversight structures are actually giving us the results that we're looking for. Our observation currently is no, but it's an observation. It's not informed by facts, and it's something that perhaps maybe going forward we might want to do further analysis just to deepen our understanding of what these oversight structures are mandated to do and whether they will be giving us the results that we are looking for. Of importance as well that the AG has raised relates to issues of records management. We are proud to say, Chairperson, that we have been engaging not necessarily only in Madibeng, but with all municipalities in the province to try and help them on issues of records management. And we are contrasting that with what SALGA is doing. Because currently, as you would have known, or maybe if as you would have been advised, Chair, that we managed to get a clean audit the 8th conservative year as SALGA. And what the AG has indicated to the NEC is that there's an element of good record keeping. And in that regard, we are trying to ensure that we translate what we do at SALGA into municipalities through the workshop format. On financial management, I must indicate that this particular support program, we are working collaboratively with COGSTA in the province, including provincial treasuries. On a year-to-year basis, Chair, I must indicate that when we engage with our municipalities to help them adopt funded budgets, we do make substantial input and guide them with provincial treasury just to ensure that there is compliance in terms of Section 18 of the MFMA. Importantly, that on issues of revenue as well, we've been helping the municipalities and Madibeng included on issues of good practices on revenue collection, implementation of credit control policies, and the like. And when we analyze the financial statements of the municipality, you would have noted that expenditure exceeds revenue. And in that regard, that's why the losses that I had indicated earlier on. On MSCOA, again, Chair, we are working with Provincial Treasury, trying to ensure that we help our members in terms of compliance to MSCOA. On the institutional capacity, Chairperson and honourable members, a lot has been said about the appointment of an MM and the CFO, something that the administrator has indicated that there are processes underway. However, I mean, we are obviously concerned from our side that those processes has not been expedited at the necessary speed. And it's something that worries us because in the last couple of years, we have been extensively involved in the recruitment processes to help the municipality appoint the right people. And of importance as well that we are also looking into the job descriptions of the posts, particularly the budget and treasury officers, to make sure that going forward, those job descriptions are clearly defined in terms of accountability. Chair, so that's essentially the type of support that we've been providing. And one of the key questions that, the committee and everybody else will be asking us is that it's well and good, SALGA, that's what we've been doing, but show us the results. And Chair, I must indicate that despite all these efforts, we are obviously not seeing the necessary results. And perhaps maybe we need to reflect whether this type of support needs to be re-looked at, or perhaps maybe municipalities do not have the necessary prerequisite capacity to absorb the support that we are providing. And I'm sure you will hear COGSTAR, even Provincial Treasury, saying that this is the support that has been provided. In my own opinion, Chair, this is not a SAUGA position, but mine. Perhaps maybe we should consider... because this is just an idea that I have, Chairperson, that is popping through my mind, that perhaps as we give this training, we should also consider doing examinations so that we begin to have a sense whether people understood what we're saying to them. Here are our suggested way forward, Chair, and I won't go into the details. Informed by the four pillars of MASP. On the leadership, we want to emphasize about the appointment of competent managers, including the political leadership to give an oversight role. On the governance, it's more on the internal audits and impacts. On the financials, Chair, as I've indicated, those six areas, if municipalities could adopt those and really run with them, I think we would emerge with a different audit outcome. And the last one is issues of capacitating BTOs. We have developed this journey, Chairperson and Honourable Chairperson and members, that we will be embarking on these. Some of these areas, we have touched on them, but I think we'll probably have to look at intensifying some of these areas. We do have a relationship, a cordial relationship with the AG, and there are some areas that we've identified working with the AG that could help us to improve our audit outcomes, and hence these key focus areas that we're going to be working on. The last slide, Chair, is that SAUGA has also adopted an approach that we envisage to implement in this current financial year. I've spoken about KPIs for oversight structures as a proposal, and importantly that we need to look at a multi-stakeholder approach that we need to formalize with our partners, so that we begin to intensify the work that we need to provide to our municipalities. Chair, that's the long and short of what we wished to share with your good selves. And here are the two recommendations for the committee's consideration. Thank you so very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, SAUGA Provincial Head, Mr. William Muraka. We welcome your presentation. Can I ask, just mute your microphone, William, please. Thank you. Can I ask the province to talk to issues on Madiwe? If the others is done. I know you were saying HOD represented the state of municipalities. But can you zoom in on Madiwe and do as what the other previous presenters have done, AG and SAUGA? Please, over to you, Provincial Copter. HOD?
Good morning again, Chairperson and members of the committee, MECs, colleagues. Morning to the mayor and the executive mayor and the speaker of Madibeng and colleagues from the municipality. Chairperson, I wish to just reiterate what has already been presented, and to indicate that as a province, We have been supporting the municipality of Madibeng. It has already been indicated that the support that we are providing is not only being provided by COXTA, but it is provided together with the provincial treasury. And Madibeng is one of the municipalities that we have developed a program of action with, that we B2B action plans that we have developed and that we are monitoring on a monthly monthly basis. Yes.
HOD.
Yeah.
What section of your presentation, all the documents you have given to us, where are you?
Okay. I don't know if I'll be able to.
You have to send something different to what we requested.
We have
been doing same thing in the same letter that we sent to you. In future, if when there are things you don't understand, can you check with the committee secretary and wasting your energy and resources on preparing things that we don't need, please?
Okay. We were asked to prepare the municipal recovery plan, and that is what I'm talking to now.
Okay.
And it was not supposed to be on Madibeng only, it was supposed to be on all the municipalities.
No. Shirin? That can't be correct. Not on all municipalities. The municipalities in the province that you have requested, you go also on the 639, it's in relation to the municipalities only that are in there. Okay. Talk to Madhuri.
Yes, I was saying that the other municipalities say, we have finalized the recovery plan for Madibeng. We worked with the municipality, and that plan we are monitoring on a regular basis. In terms of improving their M&E, we also have also assisted the treasury by appointing some of the officials to go and work in that particular municipality. However, Chairperson, because it seems like there was a miscommunication in terms of what you should prepare, because the request was not specific to Madibeng. We may still present a detailed report in terms of what we specifically did in Madibeng, despite the general interventions that we have done for all other municipalities in the province. I don't know if that will suit the committee.
Is it somewhere in the presentation?
No. I'm saying the presentation is not specific to Madibeng, but we can present what is specific to Madibeng if we can give us a chance, if you would allow us.
You will just be talking over it. It's not in the general report. This is a general report.
This is a general report in terms of what we have done.
You saw our invitation, there was Madibeng specific in our invitation, and also say deal with all municipalities under 139. So the general report, I will urge you to then go back and do us a specific report on Madibeng, because I won't allow you to just talk over here. Okay. Members have got issues, they're going to raise issues with you as a department. Then you're going to then later on respond and also finally give us a report, status report on Madibeng, in response to all the issues as raised by SALGA, AG, and AG. Then If that is the case, I'll let you stop here, then go over to National Cocktail to do one. Maybe the Cocktail one will cover you. I believe we are working together with Cocktail National. Cocktail?
Good, Chair. And honorable members, colleagues, and MECs. Chair, I'm having the colleagues that are going to run with their our presentation, Ms. Mabidi Lala, accompanied by Mr. Loiso Ngoko. So the colleagues will take us through the slide. Thanks, Chair.
Can we flag the cocktail presentation, please? Can we do that? There's somebody whose mic microphone is consistently on. Can we mute our microphone if we're not asked to talk and allow only those that are on the platform? Honorable Mpumza, can you attend to your microphone as well? Martins, call Honorable Mpumza to attend to his microphone, if you can hear us. Committee assistant? HOD of Cocktail, your microphone is still
on.
And are you loading the presentation for Cocktail National? Andile?
Yes, Chair.
This is still Northwest. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Nkashe, who's presenting it?
It's supposed to be Mema Bidilala or Lois Ngoko, one of the two. So I don't know how did they arrange.
The name of the presenter is
Honorable Chair. Yes, Chair.
Proceed.
Let me greet also honorable members and as well as the chairperson and all protocols observe and indicate, Chair, that as we are doing the last presentation, I think I won't go through all the slides because all the issues that have been contained in our presentation, we have already alluded to in your opening remarks. But I'll just highlight some of the areas of emphasis that might have been missed through the presentation. The next slide. If we can pass that one. Yes. On this slide, Chair, if you can go to the previous slide. On this slide, Chair, the first bullet, the issue of the years where Madibeng went under Section 139(1)(b). It has been indicated that it went for four times. I am not sure whether that four includes the Section 139(1)(b) that was specifically targeted for water and sanitation. If not so, my figures will be Madibeng went to under 139(1)(b) five times. And then the others, you have covered the VPS. You can go to the second slide. Pass this one. These are profiles. You can pass the profiles. And then on governance and administration, Chair, the issue of the vacancies have been actually raised for senior managers. We are concerned as well, just like SALGA, that the process has taken too long. We are also deeply worried, Chair, that notwithstanding the Constitutional Court decisions in terms of the regulations for senior managers. Councils already developed policies that actually prescribe what are the competence requirements for those specific positions. To an extent that the provincial court had developed a pro forma standard template that will guide the municipalities when they fill those vacancies. So to get an information that the advert that was done before it was of poor quality, it is very worrying, Chair. If you can pass this one again, continue to the other slide. You can continue. Yes, on the audit outcomes. On the audit outcomes, we appreciate SALGA that they will be developing a workshop regarding data. We will start to assist the municipality in terms of developing the data and the records management assistance. So that training of SALGA will actually come in very handy. You can move the slides. And then on service delivery, Chair, if you can go to the second slide after this one. Just go back again. There's a point I want there on the bulk water supply. Yes. The second last bullet, I think that will be the one of the game changers for the water issues in the Madibeng. They had a project that was there since 2014, and there have been delays in the construction of that. And if that project can be finalized, I think all the water issues that confront the municipalities can be achieved. And then also as MISA, we've developed electricity master plans. And also MISA recently have secured funding through DBSA. It's not alone, Chair, but we are experiencing a lot of challenges because in the Madibeng Council, they didn't meet when the administrator was not there. So there is no council resolution to approve that. To an extent that means I was thinking of moving that project to another needy municipality. And as well, over the years, past 3 years, the municipality has been performing poorly on MIG. They have lost about 156 million year in, year out, whether there is an administrator or not. And then let's go to way forward and the recommendations, which we think can take us forward. As Cocta was saying, that the posts, the four vacant senior managers posts need to be filled as a matter of urgency. We still feel as well that the MEC must ensure that the forensic reports on the VPS are being implemented. We feel as well that there must be a Section 106 investigations, because we've picked up that there is a lot of maladministration, in particular in the supply chain, specifically that relates to an IT company contract. And as well, the MEC should begin to be firm in the institutioning of the code of conduct for the councillors to deal with the allegations of the ill discipline amongst those councillors. We'll request our MISA to continue with the master plans for infrastructure for the whole totality of the municipality. Then a Department of Water and Sanitation and Makgalis Water Board needs to be engaged to unblock the delays of the plant in order to resolve all the water and the sanitation issues there. That is the long and short from COCTA, Chair. Those recommendations are just for them to note, and you'll be aware as 109 has been lifted on the 30th of June. As the department, we have not yet received the closeout report. So that second recommendation, it's an internal one, which will be an engagement between the MEC and as well as the minister to receive that report. Thank you.
You'll be shocked to note that when it was lifted, there's another one. I don't know how does it happen without a close-up report, helicopter. You see, you are still behind. There's another one in terms of the letter that we got from the mayor. So you are not even up to speed as a department. You are not aware of that. But I hope the province will do the right thing, because as far as I know, that seven-day period has already expired in terms of Section 139(5). And you seem not to be aware. I don't know what you call this administration research by the mayor. Provincial Treasury, MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my colleague MEC, Crockstein, the province, staff, both officials from national as well as province. Good morning once more, Chair, and I appreciate for this session. Chair, seeing that our presentation looks similar to the AG and as well as SALGA, we will proceed, but I'm going to request that from our side, HOD, I'm with the HOD, the SG for Provincial Treasury, as well as with the Chief Director, Mene Ngovela, who's responsible from MFMA, HOD, Sir Ndlela Kunene. If the HOD can proceed, Honorable Chair, and put emphasis on issues of financial crisis, which were covered by the municipality, and also deal with the issues of financial health, issues of in terms of Section 18 of the funded budget, where municipality has consistently adopted unfunded budget. But we have prepared a detailed presentation before you. I'll immediately hand over, Honorable Chair, to the SG to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We sincerely appreciate your presence, Honorable MEC. I think this will assist us a lot in us doing our oversight. Over to you, Superintendent General, the department. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, MECs, leadership from the municipality and SAGA and colleagues, protocol observed. Chair, I think as MEC has indicated that we do have some repetition in terms of the presentation, which I think will not deal with that because it has been covered by the municipality, by National Coctor, by the Auditor General in terms of the status of financial management in the municipality, and also skip the background because that just talks about matters relating to the constitution and our role as provincial insofar as it relates to the financial management support in the ministry, including Section 18 of the MFMA, which I think will keep in detail in terms of that process. Chair, with issues of compliance, we are indicating to the committee various compliance issues that in many instances that municipality has been found wanting. And as the province and PT, we had obviously to interact and intervene as required. That's around issues of budget, which I think we are demonstrating to the committee in terms of the slide on compliance MFMA, how the municipality has dealt with that, which I'm not going to go into the details because it has been covered. We are also sharing with the committee on other compliance issues, in particular the submission of Section 71 reports, and obviously they are quite valuable because they provide information, which information can be assessed for intervention and support through the municipality. We also have information about the financial health and performance in terms of revenue and expenditure, and I think this has been covered in detail by the Auditor General and our colleagues from the municipality in terms of their information. Chair, I would want to speak also to matters relating to SCM compliance issues, and I think has also been reflected on the basis of the financial management and performance of the municipality, that largely many of the challenges that are with the municipality are within the SCM, And I think, like the chair in her opening remarks, there seems to be some institutional arrangements, but what it means is that how effective are those governance structures in terms of improving the situation in the municipality, which I think is on slide number 14 in terms of the details. We are also sharing with the committee the financial governance institutional arrangement. As we have said, that some of the structures are there, but they are not seems to be effective in terms of ensuring that there is huge improvement in terms of the status of financial management and health in the municipality, which is slide number 16 in terms of the governance. On the financial health, Chair, I can just summarize that we are aware that given the financial challenges that the municipality have, it also has an impact on delivery of services, obviously on prudent management of financial resources, and obviously on the effectiveness of the financial government functions and institutional arrangements. What we are also aware is that these challenges manifest themselves into serious unprecedented growth in municipal debtors and creditors, and obviously, like the chair has mentioned, the issues of the audit outcomes, which I think the AG has also spoke to. What it requires, which is what we want to share with the committee, that the financial health of the municipality obviously demonstrate the financial crisis, obviously, which triggers the necessary intervention in terms of the MFMA 139 and 140. And you are also working with National Treasury to ensure that not only Madibeng municipality, but also other municipality, in terms of requesting the municipal financial recovery services to determine the reasons, assess the municipality, and obviously put together the financial recovery plan for the implementation by the municipality. And Madibeng is one of the municipalities that is also included in that list in terms of the financial distress, and there would be intervention in the context of both the MFMA read together with the constitutional intervention in terms of 135. The ratio I'm going to skip, Chair, because I think that demonstrates the financial distress of the municipality, which has been covered by the municipality and other colleagues who have presented before. I want to zoom into the support, Chair, in terms of what we have provided. Over and above the support that we have provided around intervening on preparation of AFS, which I think has been tabled by the AG in terms of the timing of that, and obviously the relative impact of that intervention in the municipality and how sustainable are they. So what we have started now focusing in detail was the matters relating to the funded budget. We have assessed the 2021 budget, obviously as part of our process in terms of the MFMA. We are also consistently providing the technical support to the municipality to rework on the budget. And I think it is common cause that obviously the COVID also has had its own implication in terms of the financial sustainability of the municipality in terms of cash flows and some of the critical financial ratios that we have. Over the MTF, as we have said, is that we are ensuring that the cash flow presents a surplus for the current, and it's something that we are working with. Also, we are working with the municipality
colleagues. Can you hear the presenter only me?
I'm aware that I've got challenges with the network, but I've also logged on another system. I just want to conclude, Chair, by indicating to the committee that the last point that we just wanted to make is that we are also providing the necessary support in terms of capacity to the municipality, in terms of financial management support, which is a more long-term process in terms of our areas of responsibility. I need just to also indicate, Chair, that the last point that we want to make, Chair, is on the matters relating to what constitute the support around the areas of budget, funded budget. And we want to conclude by indicating to the committee that We do provide support to the municipality on areas of budget, on areas of financial management. And in conclusion, we want to make the point that COVID-19 pandemic is impacting on the municipal budget through increased spending and reduced revenue. And the last point that we just wanted the committee to note the report, the state of financial management in the municipality and the support provided by provincial treasury to improve financial management and capacity building in the municipality. Chair, that concludes our presentation, and I just need to apologize that I had to at least use another platform because the last few slides were just on recommendation and conclusion. Thank you very much, Chair.
And from the provincial treasurer. Yes. I should think we're done. Then it gives the opportunity to members. We're still going to deal with 139 interventions. Province of Gauteng, Cocktail, don't worry. Most of these matters, some of them are going to come sharply on this state of the municipality report. But then we need to see members. Can you put on your camera so that I see who wants to talk on the matter? Colleagues? I've said we are joined by the chairperson of the COCTA Portfolio Committee in the province. I've also noted MP Person and Honorable MP LV Selim Kopan. They are in this meeting. And then as members of Parliament and Legislature, they are entitled to participate in this meeting if there are issues they want to raise. Who wants to start first, colleagues? Brink, Purnevald, Opperman, Kleza, Basson, whom did I miss? I think one of my sages at the end I'm seeing. Did I miss the other colleagues?
Chair, are you not seeing my face? You said we must show our face.
Out of order.
Out of order.
Oh, you have changed the modus operandi.
No, my apologies. My apologies. That's why I called. Whom did I omit?
Okay, you can note me as the last speaker, Chair.
Okay. So it will be Brink, Punervat, Opperman, Teza, Person, Adele. The colleagues on the province, you don't want to raise anything. MPS, Chairperson of COCTA.
Honorable Mutwana, Chair.
Honorable Mutwana. Okay. Are we done in the province? Okay, fine. In that order. Honorable Brink.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I hope I'm clear without having to switch off my video.
Yes, you are. Audible.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Chair. My first question is to the administrator. And correct me, I think it's Advocate Motlakhelwa. The problem with what he said about disciplinary action following the VBS issue is that it contradicts the information given to us in the province's presentation. In the Northwest presentation, it clearly states that disciplinary action, the process is not being followed in regards to what happened to VBS, but the administrator says it is happening. Now, we are not going to concern ourselves with what the Hawks are doing or the National Prosecuting Authority. That's not within our hands. We can't assist there, but we can ask what the municipality is doing to follow the proper disciplinary processes and to act on the forensic reports that have been commissioned in this instance, I think, by the province, but I might be mistaken. So, Chair, much was said about the CFO position, what emerged before public accounts last year is that the former CFO who left at the end of 2018, Mr. Morris Maluleka, was also the CFO when the deposits of 50 million rand in VBS were made. We know that only 20 million of that 50 million was eventually recovered. We also know that the MFMA puts very heavy fiduciary obligations on a municipal manager and a CFO, so that it's not just about blaming the junior officials, the senior officials have to take overall responsibility. Now, I don't want to express any view on whether Mr. Maluleka or the then acting municipal manager is implicated in this, but I am concerned that they left without disciplinary charges being instituted against them, despite the heavy fiduciary responsibilities that are placed on the CFO and the municipal manager by the MFMA. And we have provincial and national treasury here who can assist us with the interpretation of that act. Mr. Maluleka went on to become a municipal manager of the Waterberg district in Limpopo before the investigation was even properly concluded, or before he could account for his fiduciary responsibilities. And that's an issue. So back to the disciplinary action on the officials involved with the VBS matter to the administrator. The law is clear that if you suspend a senior manager or take the decision to investigate a senior manager, a report has to come back to the municipal council, an interim report, and based on the findings of that interim report, you then proceed with charges. My question to the administrator, Advocate Botlogelwa, is have disciplinary reports, either from the financial disciplinary board of the municipality or from some other special investigative body in terms of the Systems Act, a committee, has that come back to council for action, or is that not happening at all? And the second question is, are you only acting against junior officials, which would be completely incongruent to the situation right here? You can't just act against subordinates. The senior officials, who again has the fiduciary responsibility, also need to account. So unfortunately, Madibeng is one of those areas. It's a zero accountability zone in terms of VBS. 30 million rand gone in a municipality that's already very close to bankruptcy, in fact, technically insolvent if we listen to what the AG is saying, and no action. Is it any surprise then that things continue to deteriorate? Chairperson, I thought that the mayor of Madibeng during the time of the VBS deposits had resigned, because that is the precedent that was followed in most of the municipalities in the northwest, as well as Limpopo. Gauteng was an exception, but I believe that the decision to remove the last remaining VBS mayor in Gauteng has been made by that mayor's party. Now, when I checked on this, I found that Mayor Mutibe was in fact the mayor at the time of the VBS saga. I might be mistaken, but if she was, my question to her is, why has she not resigned? The mayor simply can't just wash her hands of responsibility. She has got responsibility in terms of the law, the oversight process, the budget process. You can't lose 20 million rand or 30 million rand under your watch and then just blame the officials. Chair, then my question to the speaker, Councillor Ntsabele, if I have it correct, is have you written to the mayor to request for disciplinary reports to serve before council against senior managers, either in terms of the Systems Act or the MFMA, so that disciplinary action can be taken on the VBS matter and other disciplinary issues? If you have not done so, why have you not done so? Because again, council has legislative responsibilities, statutory responsibilities for the discipline of senior managers. and councillors as well. The second question to the mayor chairperson is, given the councillors who owe outstanding debt to the municipality, Mr. Speaker, have you taken any disciplinary action as the custodian of the disciplinary process there against councillors? Have you commenced anything? Have you spoken to the chief whip of council if there is such a functionary? Have you done anything in this respect? Because the financial reports would indicate every month, or at least quarterly, which councillors are not paying their municipal bills. Then chairperson to the MEC, does the MEC, and we understand that she is relatively new in the position, does she intend to take any action because of the lag in taking disciplinary action by the Council of Madibeng in respect of the VBS issue? Are there any plans for further intervention? Chairperson, you mentioned that Madibeng is in such a terrible state that it might be a candidate for Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution, which is the dissolution of the Municipal Council and its re-election. Is the MEC taking that under consideration, especially given that we have now between 4 and 5 failed interventions, and it seems also that no lessons are learnt by anybody to say, we did this wrong the first time, we did this wrong the second time. It seems that whoever the province sends to intervene in Madibeng is just banging their head against a brick wall, trying the same things, having no discernible effect in improving the situation. In fact, things only get worse. Then lastly, chairperson, I will leave it to colleagues to go further to the water situation, because you know there's a collapse of the water infrastructure there and permanent harm can come of that. But my last question, Chair, to Salga, can Salga give us any set of lessons that we can learn from failed interventions? 1, 2, 3. Why do interventions of this nature fail? That type of analysis is crucial. Merely saying that, Salga has got a clean bill of health, that's great, but please advise us, why do these interventions not work? Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Brink. Thank you so much, Honorable Brink. We then move to Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, if it's possible, my banter is quite low, if you
do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, I've got quite a few stuff I want to touch on, but I want to start with...
Honorable, we'll give you that honor to do that. Proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, my first question would be, in terms of the forensic report, was it tabled in council? Second question I want to ask the speaker and the mayor of Madibeng, your impact committee is not, can I say, functional. That's due to non-attendance of councillors. In terms of Schedule 1 of the Systems Act, it says that you must attend your portfolios as well as council. Did you invoke or act against those councillors that did not attend MPAC? And then I want to, if the municipality will do a report in terms of councillors' attendance in council and the, can I say, apologies they render to council. Then in terms of the presentation on cash and cash equivalents, you say that there weren't a bank recon for the last 3 years. But on the other slide, you said that your consultants use, or can I say, mostly is there for cash and cash equivalents, of which you pay 36 million for 5 different consultants. I want to find out, why is it then still that in that 3 years your bank recons was not done? Then in terms of revenue and trade receivables and your credit control, you say that you're only using estimates because you're not able to read meters. Firstly, I want to ask, is there a reason why the community keeps you away from those meters? Secondly, I want to find out if the meter reading is contracted, and if so, what is the amount you pay for the contractors to read such readings? Then, in terms of the Systems Act, it says that the community must allow you to read those meters. Did the municipality act in any way to go to the police and ask them to desist to read those meters? And what have they done to actually get a reading for those meters? Then on your SCM, you stated that there's training needed on your SCM unit. I'm of view that when you appoint someone in SCM unit, they must have at least, can I say, experience in SCM and have a good understanding of how SCM is working. So what training is needed? In terms of document management, you say in your slide, and I think it was slide 16, that all your records are kept and is safe. But one of the Auditor General's findings is that they do not receive audit evidence. Why is that then that you report to this committee to say, but the papers are there and they are safe? So I just want to find that out, Honourable Chair. Chairs, another question in terms of payments. Was third-party payments done, like your medical aid and that sort of stuff? If not, for how long is it not being paid? Over the last 3 years, in terms of your annual reports, was it tabled timeously in terms of the MFMA? Then that was done. Your losses of water and electricity. If we look at the presentation, Honourable Chair, when they talk about the losses of water and electricity, it almost looks like that the municipality gave up to govern just due to challenges. I want to ask the mayor directly, Mayor, did you give up in governing Maribeng? Because it looks like that. Then in terms of disconnecting your electricity, except for paying your contractors to do that, what is the amount you're paying for them to disconnect? And do you pay them to give notices of 14 days? Because it looks like that the municipality do not even give notices. And if they do, it's on the same day they disconnect. In terms of the 1.1 billion rand loan from the PIC, it is clear in the MFMA that you have to have a council resolution. I want to find out if that resolution is there. In terms of your salaries and wages, and in terms of the AG's report, it is almost half of your total revenue of 1 billion. What are you going to do to address that? Then in terms of the Hartbeespoort Dam, that also falls under your region, you alluded that tourism is one of the economic sectors of your region that is quite high. I want to find out, due to the pollution of Hartbeespoort Dam, what are you doing to correct those pollution, and what future plans do you have so it doesn't happen again? And I'll leave it to Mr. Basson to address the rest of the water. In terms of your riot unrest, what especially is the problems for all the riots that took place in Maribeng, especially in the last year. There was also a police presence when the administrator assumed its duties on the 18th of August. Why was there a police presence, and can you allude more on the situation? Then, Honourable Mayor, all the opposition parties put a motion of no confidence in terms of your leadership. It says that you have a lack of leadership and a lack of oversight. And if you look at the presentations, we can see that is true. I want your response on that specifically. And then in terms of the administration of administrator, in the last year or two, how many Section 32 procurements was done, and what was the total amount to that? Listen, I've got a lot of papers, so just give me a chance to go on. You've got a contract with, what is it, Betru Bright Pty Limited. In terms of that contract, you are paying to rent vehicles at 9 million rand a month. It's 106 vehicles. I want to find out, when was this contract signed? When did you enter the contract? Did you have permission to sign this contract? Because the total amount of the contract is 280 million rand, of which you could actually bought those vehicles and maintain it. Of all those vehicles, how many of them are operational? How many of them are licensed? If they can allude to that. Then I want to find out, and just to give the committee an example, you're renting an MP300 without a canopy to an amount of 21,000 rand a month. I want to find out, how did you, can I say, organize, or how did you come to terms with paying that much rent per month for a car that is obviously, can I say, less value than that? And I've got a contract in front of me, Honorable Chair. If you want to, I can send it to you. Then, Honorable Chair, in terms of, can I say, an ex-employee or an employee of the municipality, Victor Batlela, he was accused of murder and been locked up for the last year, although he's still receiving a salary of almost 40,000 rand a month. If the mayor can allude us onto what is the situation on that, and if it's still being paid, why so? And then, Honorable Chair, just want to get the other papers. In terms of your capital project on drought relief, you've got a value of 22 million, but you only spend it 5 million. It says the challenge is that the project is on hold. The contractor's contract was terminated due to irregularities in their appointment. What was that irregularities? And how are you trying to, or how are you going to mitigate those monies lost? In terms of WIS IG backlog on projects, it's a 25 million rand project. It says also the project is on hold. The contractor's contract was terminated due to irregularities in the appointment. What was the irregularities? And on both projects, what was the consequent management taken in terms of that? Then, Honorable Chairperson, on terms of that contract with Betru Bright, you've got, and this is more specific on your two graders, you're paying almost 180,000 rand a month for the rent of those graders. Although it is breakdown since September 2019, can you just allude more on that as well? Honorable Chair, I think I will pause there and go on later if that is fine, but I want to thank you for the opportunity.
You are more than welcome. The next speaker is Honorable Weldman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, this municipality has appeared before SCOPA last month on the 29th of July, and they revealed there that there has been no investigation, zero accountability, and no action for all prior years' unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. I want to know why that is the case, and why has no disciplinary action been instituted. Then, currently the municipality fits the description of a municipality in financial crisis as per Section 140 of the MFMA. They currently, their liabilities exceeds their current assets, and they owe their creditors as of June this year 599 million, and their debtors balance is at 2.4 billion. Can you please tell us how you're gonna your recovery plan, about how you're gonna get your money back, and how you're gonna pay your debt, and how you're gonna turn this municipality around despite 5 failed interventions. Then you mentioned that there is 5 officials that are facing consequence management, and your irregular expenditure is sitting at 443.8 million for the 2018-19 financial year, mainly because of BIT adjudication committees that weren't properly constituted. I want to know, has this been rectified, and why have you deviated from competitive processes? And these 5 officials that are facing consequence management, does this individuals include the people who had illegal or unauthorized debit orders with the municipality for DSTV and AMC Kukwe? Did the culprits pay back the money yet? Then I'd like to know, when will you implement the recommendations of the couple of forensic reports that you say are at the municipality? And how far back does these forensic reports date? Then I'd like to know about the IT company who has 5 different accounts with the municipality. I'd like to know more about that, and about the allegations of rented criminals to disrupt the operations in municipal offices. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable.
Chairperson, I just assumed that you were calling my name from me reading your lips, because that couldn't come to, I think it's the question of the network.
My apologies. I didn't.
It has nothing to do
with you. You are next.
Thank you, Chairperson.
So you know how I call you, please.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. We are of the view, Chairperson, that the whole exercise of having to put the municipality under administration on multiple occasions is a futile exercise in that.
Honorable Chairman?
Yes.
When we deal with the administration, because we're still going to do the administration, we are raising it in line with this municipality. But remember, we still have a presentation on administration, okay? Or because it has been put under administration for several times.
Yes. Because it has been put under administration several times, and we wondered if when we read the presentation, we wondered if this was a solution to put the administration so many times. Instead of appointing the manager and the municipal manager and the CFO. But Chairperson, I have some few questions. The Auditor General reported that there are cases of corruption in the municipality. You are reported to have opened one case just for compliance. The case in point being Mr. a person who is known to as Mr. Cash, who was suspended since October 2009. But what time frames can you give us for the 5 that is implicated in terms of the allegations against them? Number 2 is the fact that the people that are the 31.7 million of the money that is involved in the VPS by the municipality, perpetrators are back in the employ of the municipality while community was on a rampage Can you tell the committee how many are still under the employ? How many are still under the employ of the municipality? And then, in terms of the provincial scope, Chairperson, what is the status of corruption, of the corruption committee? Because in Scopa, in provincial Scopa, the mayor was quoted, she asserted is the committee is in place and is functional, has not led to a single case. What case in terms of corruption, what committee? The status of the corruption committee.
Oh, there's a corruption committee in the municipality. I wanted to get clarity on that. So that, yes. I need to hear you clearly. Yeah. That's what was said in Scopa, ne?
That's what was said in Scopa. And he said, and I wanted to know which case did that committee probe, and what is the status of that committee currently? You know, because this is despite the evidence and information provided in place and functioning. He spoke about functioning, which has not led to a single case in which an official has been prosecuted, despite evidence and information provided.
Unmute the microphone, Honorable Sizer.
Okay.
And we missed you on the last part. You'll have to repeat.
Yes.
Most of your sides.
Yeah. Sorry, Chair, about that. In terms of the lack of accountability on public funds, as in a case where the municipality acquired a loan of about 1.1 billion, why was the loan never disclosed on financial statements of the municipality during the audit? Why did it took the High Court for the municipality to admit it took a loan from Public Investment Corporation? That's the question in terms of that. In terms of Scopa, again, provincial Scopa, they said that they are being prohibited. MPEC is being prohibited from probing the municipality. Who are the culprits who are prohibiting the MPEC from doing their duties? In terms of what action was taken on the people who are implicated on procurement transgressions, such as goods and services procured without inviting competitors? Can you clarify to the committee whether you have submitted a report, a detailed report, on the payment of DSTV and clothing accounts paid from the municipal bank account, and names of officials implicated, and what action has been taken against them, as we cannot allow public money to be used for personal interests. Chairperson, the community of this municipality went on rampage on various issues pertaining to dirty drinking water, road, road covered in potholes, the street lights not working, the grass was not was overgrown, municipal buildings and communal areas were not maintained. What is the status of the recovery plan and the turnaround strategy to deal with the community needs, the basic needs in terms of the service delivery. I will park it there for now, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
I'm going to ask the administrator to answer most of the questions that I would like him. How is he going to deal with the fact that this period of administration and it's also important to being, and I need to know from in that person, we all know about the high liability of 1.8 billion rand of the municipality. Of which 1.1 billion rand is owed to the PIC. Now, Chairperson, maybe I must just clarify there that the 1.1 billion rand is not a loan that the municipality took up. It is a loan that comes prior in 1994, and the municipality tried to deal with this. Myself was a councillor in that municipality for 18 and a half years, and we struggled to deal with that money that came prior in 1994. The liability and yeah, Maribeng will never be able to pay back that 1.1 billion and at the current status of the municipality's finance. But we need to know how the administrator is going to deal with the PIC concerning this matter. Then that is very much concerned, Chairperson. We see that in the report it stipulates that electricity was 97.6 million that they owed Eskom and Tshwane. Now, as we speak today, Chairperson, Maribeng only owes Eskom 236 million. So we can see that even if we've been under administration, this has escalated. It's a runaway train. It seems that Maribeng is the milking cow in Northwest when it comes to corruption. And I really need to know how National Treasury, as well as COCTA, is going to deal with this issue, Chairperson, because at the moment it is the community of Maribeng that is struggling with no service delivery. Chairperson, Honourable Groenewald talked about the fleet. They were owing 17 million rand on those fleets, 146 vehicles, which they could have bought, which they are paying 9 million rand a month on now. Chairperson, for the last 2 weeks, those vehicles were blocked. They couldn't move, so there was no services. Sewer was running in Brits. They couldn't fix electricity cables. We had the industrial area off for 1 week. They give work to 6,000 people, and those people has lost income because of poor service delivery in Maribeng. And this is also because of the vehicles that could not be utilized because they were blocked on the system, so they couldn't move wherever they were standing. So that becomes a huge problem, Chairperson. And the administrator must give us an idea as he got to change around and get the municipality to buy vehicles. It's 146 vehicles that includes yellow fleet tractors, which Maribeng is renting at a cost of 9 million rand a month. Now, Chair, if you go and look at a bucky, 1400 bucky, you can buy a bucky in the region of 185 with a canopy. They're paying more than that in a year renting that bucky.
and that is a huge amount of money that is being lost. So, Chairperson, the administrator needs to explain to us how he's going to deal with this. Then further on the water issue, Chairperson, you know, in prior 94, people were killed in Mutuklum for protesting against water. It's ongoing now, Chair. We're going now into the seventh year of this. And I know the Department of Water and Sanitation has made funds available to upgrade the water purification plant. But because of councillor interference and ANC councillor interference in those projects, been delayed now for 3 years. And I want to know how the administrator are going to deal with that, where we can get councillors not involved in these projects so that we can deliver water to our community in the area. Chairperson, for now, that will be the questions that I would want the administrator to answer. Lastly, Chairperson, a question to the mayor. Yeah, I want to add my voice to what my colleague Salier Brink has said. The right thing for the mayor would have been, with the corruption and the situation in Maribeng, is to step aside and resign as the mayor. But it seems that the mayor will not resign, and you know, we need to know how the province is going to deal with this, because this is bad leadership in Maribeng, and the province is not assisting the municipality and cleaning up leadership in this municipality. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, thank you so much. Honorable Hadewe with an H.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My apology, Chair. Thanks. Let me welcome the report, Chair. I must say I am partly covered by Honorable Brink and other honorable members, Chair, in relation to the forensic investigation as it pertains to the VBS saga and what has been reported as contradicting reports, Chair. If a municipality, Chair, has commissioned a forensic investigation and they do not act on the outcome or recommendation of those forensic investigation, Chair, that's tantamount to fruitless, wasteful expenditure. So I'd like to get an understanding from the municipality, whether or not they're planning to act on the forensic investigation recommendation. I'm raising this, Chair, in terms of fruitless expenditure, because these investigations are not conducted, Chair, on a pro bono basis. They cost millions. So if you don't act on the recommendation, it becomes a futile exercise, the commissioning of this forensic investigation. The second aspect, Chair, relates to the use of consultancy. And the AG says the consultants were ineffective. I'd like to get an understanding from the point of view of the municipality, because the use of consultants is in outsourcing, in simple terms, outsourcing the work. Have they received value for money? We are told by the AG that they were ineffective. Have they been able to transfer skills? We are told that almost 35 million was spent, and the report also indicates the municipality is struggling to pay service providers after receiving goods and services. It takes almost 360 days, which is more than a year, to pay for services rendered. Is this the similar case or instances when it comes to paying the consultants, or are they getting paid on time? Are they getting special treatment? Would like to get an understanding so that we can see whether or not there is a challenge when it comes to paying off service providers, or they use what we call animal farms. Some animals are more equal than the other. Chair, those are my two questions. Like I said, most of the question has been covered by previous honorable members. Thank you.
Honorable State President of Cocteau in the province, Honorable Musana.
No, thanks, thanks, Honorable Chair of the Cocteau Committee National, Honorable Mutambi, and the members, greetings to the MECs, the two MECs that are in the meeting. Honorable Chair, I won't repeat the questions that have already been said by your honorable member. Safe to say that as the chairperson of the committee, the site, I'm also serving as a member of the Public Accounts Committee. I've heard members also making submissions with regard to what also transpired in our meeting. I'm coming in, Chair, and my interest is on the fact that Cocteau, despite having the provincial Cocteau, despite having agreed with the former MEC before he made his fateful death, that we're going to temporarily stop with the invocation of Section 139.1b in municipalities across, up until such time that we would have reviewed your terms of reference and the appointment of those particular administrators in municipalities. Because according to us, the reason why these interventions are not yielding results is that we are not analyzing and making a thorough assessment other than the desktop analysis that has been presented to ensure that as and when we intervene, we go to the root of the problems and we don't take municipalities as if they are one. And we apply one solution to all municipalities. So making a case that municipalities are differing in terms of their sizes and capacity. And this particular municipality that is in question, Honorable Chair, we're dealing with a simple case of where there's a lack of political will and an administrative will to deal with the issues emanating from the first intervention, wherein there was between 2010-2011 a forensic report that was done in the municipality. That report has not been dealt with. It has not been touched. There was a case that was opened at that particular time. No follow-up has been made up until this far with regard to that particular case or those particular forensic matters that were investigated. And unless otherwise, that somewhere, somehow, provincial government, including the Office of the Premier and Treasury, are going to take measures to implement or enforce that particular outcome of the forensic. I don't see us going anywhere, because we are saying to people, you can continue doing things and you will not be held accountable. There would be reports that are going to be done. There would be investigations that are going to be done. But at the end of the day, things will be shelved under the carpet. So for me, Honorable Chair, it would not be a good exercise to reinstate the 139 in that particular municipality. And my reason is that throughout the process since July last year, we indicated to Cocteau as a department that from time to time, the committee would need to be appraised with progress. But to date, as you are in the same position, as the minister is in the same position, we are not having a closeout report on the municipality. Now, why would you want to restate Section 139 when you have not in the first place provided a closeout report, and what are the recommendations? Part of what was wrong with those particular terms of reference of the administrators that were appointed last year was that they were directed to report direct to ESCO. Now, consistently, we have said since last year that, look, you can't procure medicine for someone who's not ill. If the municipality is the one that is ill, then get medication for the municipality. So if then the administrator is there, but the administrator report directly to EBSCO and not to council, then council would not know what is it that needs to be corrected and so forth. There's issues of the municipality failing to investigate whether it's MPEG, whether MPEG says it's the municipal manager, and so on and so on. Issues of irregularities that has occurred in the municipalities, fruitless and wasteful expenditure that has existed in the municipality there. No investigations, according to their report, when they appeared before SCOPA, failing to admit even their shortcomings in terms of employing consultants, having a huge staff complement at the BPO section of 156 people there, but at the same time, the municipality is unable to just produce a financial statement. These are matters that, for me, requires that instead the provincial treasury should be allowed to get in terms of your Section 139 of your MFMA and impose a financial recovery plan to the municipality. In the event that the municipality resists that particular financial recovery plan, then we can then know that they've got something to hide. The second thing is to ensure that we then make an analysis of the entire BTO structure and the capacity of those that are employed in the BTO section of the municipality, because then it is important. And I'm saying across the municipalities in the Northwest that in other cases we have met municipalities that would say to us, our expenditure manager is only having a metric. Now, the capacity of the size of the Madibe municipality should be a municipality that is able to raise its own revenue, given the industries that exist in that particular municipality, given that the municipality is surrounded by mines, and these are big mines. These are not necessarily small-scale mines. These are big mines that inject very much revenue into our GDP. It boggles the mind, why is it that the municipality is not able to then tap into the existing opportunities and the environment around there to leverage on issues of revenue. The issues of water, Honorable Chair, my point has always been that national and your district municipality and the water board, for me, they are not being held responsible for all the monies that we are giving to them, especially your water boards that are supposed to have capacity that municipalities doesn't have. The municipal manager or the mayor or the administrator should be reporting to this particular committee that, no, we have finalized the water demand management a project as a result of the water master plan that we had sought to establish to attend to issues of water, because there's irrigation schemes around Madibe. But you've got communities that are consistently up in arms due to lack of water. It's either that particular water would be polluted and so on and so on. But the farming communities around that particular area are able to maintain their water demand management there. The issues of electricity network, which is in shambles, despite the fact that there's been two service providers already, one that is EGCEL that stayed forever in that particular municipality. I see in the report now that they are saying they've hired another service provider after EGCEL left between 2017 and so on. But electricity is still a problem in that particular area. So these are about issues where the municipality should be getting revenue from. And so with regard to all of the issues that honorable members spoke to, there's an issue of lack of political, unless otherwise the politicians in the municipality and the administration, for instance, are themselves also involved in the all these irregularities that are happening there. But for us to want to intervene in terms of Section 139 each time the municipality has a problem does not give us an immediate
I think I've got some few issues that I also need to raise. The issues they relate to the issue of land use that I need also to hear from the municipality themselves with regard to the land use patterns. I'm raising it knowing the history of Madiben. And observing whatever this community don't have what. So maybe I want to understand from you, also HOD and the Premier, what is the municipality doing as you continue to intervene in the municipality in terms of their work with regard to the land ownership patterns, in terms of racial demographics, taking into account the transformation and inclusivity. Then the other issue, it will be good if this presentation from the municipality could be updated, Mr. Administrator, to give an indication of service delivery. That is water, sanitation, electricity, roads, and solid waste. What are the backlogs in these services and how are they being addressed? Because what you only see here, as Honorable Hadebe has said, you just see these things that are an anomaly. 9 million per month for rental of fruits. excessive payment of consultants. That's what you see. And then you can't attach the service delivery issues to that. Then the other issue that one also want to know is how did the municipality then conducted its public participation for the IDP and budget during who do not have access to technology. The other one is what the chairperson has also said. What is the experience of the support that you are getting from national and provincial government in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution? I'll reserve my issues on 139 because we are still going to consider the issues when we deal with administration, but also the other issue that one of the colleagues says with regard to this intervention, because that's the reason why the mayor she didn't want to produce a report to us. But the simple question that I will still raise later. The situation in Madiwen, as the provincial director of Salga has said, these disclaimers that have been there, they come with losses of money. The president of Salga said 2016-17, 224 million was lost. 2017-18, 316 million was lost. You come now to the one that has been under review. It keeps on, the loss keeps on going high, but there's been administration throughout. It's now 1.3 billion loss. Maybe even now with regard to the letters that we've seen of the so-called proposed intervention, they're not talking about 13916. No. We are talking about, again, 1391B, as the COC has said, as also the chairperson of COCSA has said, without any close-up report. And then the shenanigans that is happening there, as I said in my opening remarks, then I need to be told also about the success stories of this intervention since they've been there. How have they been? And this issue of this treasury that you say you are giving support. We are giving support to these municipalities. Do we have the requisite support for the officials in provincial COCSA, provincial treasury, to note as you analyze this report, because they are submitting Section 17(1) reports every day, every month, to the province, both to COCSA and treasury. So those reports are just for malicious compliance, because also those reports start from councils themselves. I need to be told by the speaker and the MMC of Finance to say, when these reports are submitted to you, because you were never dissolved as a council, and whatever the administrators have been doing, you had to sit as council to take decisions to that effect. And then why are we where we are today, whereas there's been this so-called upgrade support from Salga, support from COCSA provincially, support from COCSA nationally, support from Treasury. But the status quo as the AG has shown us here, and I think I must commend you, Team AG South Africa, for this kind of report that you've shared with us here, because it doesn't have jargons. I think this is the star report one can be proud of, because then everybody's able to read and understand the shenanigans that is happening in the municipality. So we will have to hear what are you saying on these matters. And then as we progress later in the evening dealing with the Section 139 reports, we'll have to again interact and zoom in on this municipality, because I think this is one of the worst case scenarios we're confronted with in the province. Over to you, MEC Cocter, MEC Finance, and the team to respond.
Chair.
Yeah. I thought you were nowhere to be found.
I'm around, Chair.
Okay. Proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Mpumza, proceed.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to you, honorable members, deputy ministers, the leadership of SALGA, of the province, and that of the Matibeng municipality. In welcoming this report, we are finding that the municipality has over 4 conservative financial years actually received a disclaimer, which is an acid test to leadership, governance, and accountability function in that particular municipality. Now, the critical question, Chair, that the presiding officers of the municipality must answer to us, the mayor, the speaker, the chief whip. Given that they have a number of pieces of legislation that is enabling them to govern that particular municipality, so strategically situated. But you could see that the provision of strategic leadership has been wanting. Are the presiding officers of the Matibeng municipality very aware that they have not been providing the necessary strategic leadership, governance, and accountability in that municipality? That's why it has these particular audit outcomes over 4 years. We need an answer from that leadership, Chair. The second one, Chair, my question would be that, again, it appears that the municipality has spent almost 35.4 million on consultants that I assume should have been preparing financial statements. But could they tell us, in view of these 4 audit outcomes, was there any value for this money spent on consultants whose work has not promising and ended? And then, what action is needed to ensure that this money on consultants who had not performed to the expectations? Here again, we are getting that the municipality has been under administration for 4 terms. And specifically, the province that invoked Section 139(1), subsection 1B. Now, over the 4 terms or 3 terms, what has been the assessment of the province of the adequacy of providing service section 39? And critically closer to that, from a governance perspective, cooperative governance perspective, what has the province been doing in assisting this municipality to cooperative governance and as well as through invoking Section 154, so that the municipality could get out of the disclaimer audit outcome, so that indeed it performed like other municipalities. We are also learning from the report, Chair, that the MPEC of that municipality had actually recommended a write-off of 1.5 billion. And a fraction of this, the 426.3 million, was referred to the municipal manager for investigation. Why was the council taking the decision that the municipality must investigate himself or herself? And could we be told what is the progress around these investigations that were given to the municipal manager to come. Also, Chair, we are also getting a sense that could the impact tell us the base of arriving at that particular recommendation of that write-off on the 2nd of November 2017? And what measure of consequence management were they expecting around recommending a write-off on such future sums of money? Chair, the audit outcomes indicated that the determining factors for this qualification relates particularly to non-compliance with supply chain management and indicate that there is a lack of a very basic thing of that of monthly reconciliation. And the key pillar of administration, poor record keeping. Could we be appeased? Doesn't Falky have the requisite skills in budget and treasury? And where is the CFO of that municipality around this issue when things are going like this? The report also indicated to us that one of the factors leading to this qualification is that the financial system that they are saying they are using, they are constant that the financial system is not user-friendly and user-friendly to the measures of internal control. Why have they continued to use such a system? Where has been the leadership to take a decision that this institution, this system should have been taken off from the municipality long ago and they actually applied? Does the CFO understand the implication of this, that this is an accounting officer, the gross violation of the municipal finance management, that they must provide an adequate, reliant financial management system? The adoption, we are getting that the province is indicating to us that, which is very concerning, that Section 106 of the investigation is something that still has to be implemented. What has been happening? Why it should be now in this committee that they'll be telling us that Section 1 investigation has still to be implemented? What has been the province doing in rescuing this situation? And why has the provincial executive, particularly the ESCO, tolerated maladministration in this municipality to the extent that the municipality would be receiving over 4 consecutive years a disclaimer? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Based on what Honorable Mbuza has said, prompted me to ask the following before you respond, Emesis. I want to understand as to who plays oversight on the administrators that you have deployed to this municipality. Because I'm saying this with confidence to say, all the administrators you have sent to this municipality have in fact contributed now to the collapse of this municipality. Instead of them rescuing the municipality, you'll see, given the trend of the monies that the municipality is losing on a regular basis. Because I'm trying to say, what kind of an administrator will allow a municipality to carry 9 million for a monthly rental of cars? And then I'm raising it also in regard to the issue of consequence management. Say, unless I'm told otherwise in terms of the close-up reports, which I don't know what kind of close-up reports will say, because the AG report is very clear for the past years where there's been administrative, the municipality has been collapsing time and again. So then I don't know what the contrary that the province will say. Was very much happy about the performance of the administrators in the municipality. And then I want to know, what is the province going to do? Because we're talking about consequence management here. To all these administrators that the province themselves have deployed to just further collapse the municipality. Then the other issue that Honorable Khornefad touched a bit, because that's the other thing that I can see is the reason why the municipality is being bankrupted here. Honorable